Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Good morning. If you've not met me, my name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here. And today, we're going to be in one of my favorite sections of Scripture, and not Romans. If Anna's in the room, I do love Romans 8 specifically. But today, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 12. And I look back, I keep all my notes, and I usually, if I feel like, man, I want to preach out of this text, I will usually go in and search, like, when was the last time I preached out of this text? So I didn't preach something that I preached 6 months ago or whatever. And I think this section of Scripture, I have preached almost every 2 years. So definitely in 22, definitely in 20, and definitely in 18. Those are years, not just numbers. And I think this is probably a section of Scripture that you need to hear over and over and over again. I could probably preach this every 6 months, and it wouldn't be enough for us to hear the text. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. So if you are one of those people that you need to look real quick to see where that's at, go for it. So today, I want to ask you a question. What does real, and this is kind of a trick question, saying, what does real strength look like? As Americans, it sure isn't embracing and exposing our weaknesses. It's not something we do. Some people do it naturally. Some people, like, hey, this is what's really going on. But for the most part, everybody you interact with are withholding their weaknesses, are withholding what's going on really inside of them, and they're presenting themselves as strong. They're presenting themselves as like, I got it all together and I'm good. We say it to ourselves. You could be having the worst day of your life right now, and someone could have asked you this morning, how are you doing? Good. Great, great brother, blessed and then some. When you are feeling like the bottom of the toilet. See, weakness is not something most of us walk out of the door hoping to become today. Many of us have fought hard to hide our weakness. Many of us in this room are proud at our ability. We don't say that we're proud, but we're proud of our ability to seem strong to others when in fact we are struggling and insecure. I think it's one of the most devastating things that happens to the church. Because God, Jesus even said this to the Pharisees. He said, I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick. And if you present yourself at well, you will convince yourself that you're good. Just like when someone asks, how are you doing? And you say, good. God wants to interact with us. And you, instead of going, hey, I'm broken and lost and I need help desperately, we'll be like, I'm good. We need more than that. We need something to get through that. I do it like everyone else. I want to be strong. I don't want to be the weeping pastor. I'm not afraid of tears. I mean, I think we should be emotional, but like, I want to be perceived like I have everything got together. And I just want to tell you, I don't. Most of the time, and most of you that know me, and if you've been here long enough, you've heard me say it up here. It's not like I'm trying to hide it. But I want to lead from a place of vulnerability, because if you're not vulnerable, you will not get what you need from Jesus. Because if you present strength, you will present strength to everyone. And today, we're going to learn from the voice of Paul that real weakness is not perceived strength, but it's embracing our weaknesses and looking to the one who gives us strength. So before we get into the word, let's pray. Father, would you break down walls today? Would you, and this is a scary word to hear, but would you expose our weaknesses to a loving and gracious Father that is looking to build us, not destroy us? For a Father that's looking to be our strength when we are weak. And so, Lord, we want to present to you today the reality of what we're going through, not that you don't already know, but Lord, we hide from you. Even now, many of us in this room are hiding from you what's actually going on. And Lord, we cannot heal or be transformed from something that we will not acknowledge. So Lord, would you help us, like Paul today, embrace the weaknesses that leads to your power. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've been reading along into one your Bible, you've finished. We're now in Galatians, but you've just read this, I think, the end of, or the beginning of this week. But in chapter 11, before we get to 12, Paul is still trying to fight with the people that are trying to tell him that he's not good enough, that there's better apostles, that Paul's weak. And in chapter 11, he goes through and he's like, am I not Hebrew? Am I not this? I'm not this. And he goes through this long list of things that he's exposed himself to the Lord. Like, he's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He's laying out his laundry list of things that he's given over to the Lord that he could boast for. He's like, more than any of you, I've been persecuted, more than any of you. I mean, he was literally left for dead. One commentary that I read today said that potentially this vision that he's going to talk about in just a second could have happened when he died from being stoned and they drug him outside the city to, you know, he was dead and they prayed over him. Now, whether he's dead or not, we don't know, actually, no. He got back up and went back into the city and preached. Like, this is what he went to. Like, many of us, if we got a little like, they didn't like it, we would just run away. Paul has been beaten and abused, and we have what we have because he was willing to take it. And not take it because he wanted it, and not take it because he wanted to be esteemed, or take it so that he could get in your face and be like, I've taken more than you have. We do that. And we're going to talk about that today, that sometimes we can even be weak and we can use that weakness as a measure for us and not for what God's trying to do. So he's getting ready to go into this vision that he's had. And what we're going to talk about is this, if you're familiar with the text today, that's about this thorn that he has. And we'll kind of talk about what people think this is. The majority of it, we don't know what this is. But he had a vision that he's going to share with us. And that vision could have led to the danger of pride and independence. That vision could have been like, man, he's getting ready to talk about being taken up into the third heaven, which really, he's taken to a place where God dwells now. He sees what we're going to experience one day. He hears things that he's not allowed to say. Like, I am not to the place that if God showed me that I wouldn't come to church next Sunday and be like, I'm going to tell you all the secrets. But Paul, and even in this, he's not even going to say that it was his. He's going to talk about it in third person, but it's him. And God was willing to do this for Paul to make sure that Paul would be able to do what he needed to do. See, this could have ruined those two things, pride and independence, are two things that could have ruined Paul and his ministry. See, the heart of a strong Christian is based in humility and dependence on the Father. And I'm just going to tell you this, God will go to any length to make sure that those two reign in your life. So we're going to jump into the text today, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And he's going to start off this saying, I must go on boasting. He's boasting, he's carrying over from chapter 11, all those things that I just said, the long list of things that he's done that were so much better than everybody else. He said, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained from it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul just spent that part of 11 kind of laying out the groundwork of what he has done. In verse 2, it says, I know a man in Christ, he's talking about himself, who 14 years ago was called up into the third heaven, the place where God dwells. Whether in body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was called up into paradise. Whether in body or out of body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man cannot utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my behalf, I will not boast, except in my weakness. Verse 6. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool. He's saying, I could boast. I could say all these things. And the truth is, it wouldn't be boasting for Paul. But he's not going to. I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so that no one would think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. Can you imagine if we just left this room and did that? That we wanted people just to think of us as us, not more, because we present ourselves to others so they think, some of you in this room esteem me way too much. Way too much. Like, you look at me and be like, man, this guy, oh, like, he preaches, he's great, he must be, like, his holiness must exceed all others. Like, he basically goes to the third heaven every night. I mean, I say this as a joke, but you look at me and you look at every other Christian that you think is better than you, and you esteem them more than they should. And some of that, like Paul, could be true. He's like, I'm not foolish in saying these things, but some of them are a projection of things that we want to be and not the truth of actually who we are. The truth is, I am a human being in flesh that has been married for 26 years and have adult children and a 22-year-old and a 20-year-old and a 15-year-old, and a lot of my life is chaos. It just is. And I mean, like, I wish my children are like, Lord Father, I've prepared the meal. No! It's none of that. I want to bring it down because I want you to understand that every single person that walks in this room, we need to present ourselves for who we are. Because that's the real you. And if you present yourself as something above yourself, then you'll be tricked into trying to perform in front of others so that they always esteem you the same way. Like, to be truthful, I would love to say that every morning I come in here and I'm super happy to be here. I'm super happy to move all of these chairs and do all the things, but some of the mornings I'm not. Some of the mornings, like this morning, I'm tired. My body hurts. And I would have probably loved to lay in bed a lot longer. It's overcast outside. It's a perfect morning to sleep in, but I'm grateful that you didn't and you're here. Because you're godly. You're presenting yourself as really godly. See, this was Paul's experience, and this experience allowed him to endure everything he would have to go through. That experience, and what you need to understand right now, literally, if there was a gift I could give you, it would be the gift of understanding eternity. Because we forget every day that we're not living for today or this year or this month or this life. We're living for eternity. And if we had our mind set on the eternity, when the stupid stuff of today came by, you were like, nah, light and momentary. Stop. Paul said that. And he was referencing one of those light momentary things was being stoned and dragged out of the city to be left for dead. Does that sound like light momentary? Sounds like gas bubbles to me. Like I feel hot. I'm gonna sit down. Light momentary. I think in chapter 11 he said three times, maybe four times, he's been beat 39 lashes minus one or 40 minus one, because the 40 would kill you. Three times. Like, how would you be like, hey, look at my back, guys? Like, light and momentary. The only reason why Paul could say light and momentary because he understood eternity. He understood that at one moment, this will all end and it will be nothing compared to eternity with the Savior. Pride and independence will lead to our downfall, and God wants to make sure. Some of the greatest gifts God can give you is some infirmities that you have. I hate it. I mean, I love the reality. I would almost love to be a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher if it was real. Be like, oh yeah, healing, money, healing. But I think what do you do with today's text if it just takes faith to fix what's going on in your life? What do you do with today's text? And that's what we're going to get in today. So So verse 7. And so to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. Who's going to sign? We've got a list outside. Sign up for your messenger from Satan. Would you like your very own, very personal? He's ready to just stick it in you, thorns. No, no one's signing up for that. If that is the reality, be like, nope, don't want that. See, all sorts of theories are about this. It could be like Paul wrote in some of his writing, you see these large letters I write with, some of them think it was an ailment in his eyes and he was losing his sight. Which as a 48-year-old for the last 3 years that has to use reading glasses, like, I understand. Like, it's a struggle. Like, when all the old people in the room were like, that day that you looked at whatever you were looking at and you're like, I cannot read it. Maybe that's been your life always, and I'm sorry, because it's horrible. They're littered all over my house. I have a pair in my thing, and I keep increasing the font on this paper. So when you see me flipping like 6 pages, it doesn't mean I have more notes. It just means the font's gotten bigger. Right now I'm at 13. So Paul had something that was going on. It could have been epilepsy. It could be an insomnia. It could have been migraines. It could have been all of these things that were going on in his life that God intentionally gave. See, God allowed Satan to mess with Job. For those who read Job, I mean, that, like, no one wants to sign up for that either, but one of the things that we get out of the text of Job is Job was a righteous man declared so by God and was still suffering. Because in our lives, almost always when we feel like something's going wrong, we're like, I've done something wrong and God's punished me. And I want to say, sometimes God is allowing things in your life to deal with sin, but not always. So if there's something going on and you're like, I don't remember what I did. Maybe it was when I like tailgated that one person or I didn't let them in and God's like giving me whatever. No. We know this even from here. We know that God, Jesus, allowed Peter to be sifted by Satan as wheat. Like, how would you like that? Right before, he's like, hey, Peter, God's have to sift you. And I'm sure Peter's like, I'm sure you told him no. The answer is no, God, no. And he's like, no, but I've prayed for you. And he's like, oh, you've prayed that he's going to be removed? No, I prayed that you'll have faith at the other end of it. No one wants that. See, God allows things for your good. Romans 8:28, all things happen for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. All things. If you're a child of God, everything that's happening in your life right now is going to lead to your good in his glory. And the truth is that you will not be what God has intended you to be without the struggle. No one, the man and woman that God intends you to be, you cannot be without struggle. It just doesn't happen. We don't grow in comfort. Comfort, I think, is one of the most dangerous things that we can be given. See, God thinks humility is more important than our comfort. This is cheery today, I know. You're like, great, God. I know you don't like it, and I don't like it either. But part of it is understanding that we're going to trust God to lead and guide us to where we won't be willing to take ourselves. And do you just take it? When trials and tribulations come, do you just like say, great? No, what did Paul do? Verse 8. It says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it would leave me. See, Paul didn't just go, oh, great, another suffering. He went to the Father and said, Father, please remove this, which we should do. If you have an ailment going on in your life, you should go. And I'll tell you what I'm going to say at the end. Are you praying? This is what Paul did. And have you heard? And if you haven't heard, why are you stopped praying? Because Paul prayed, and we just know 3 times. We don't know It could have been four, it could have been five, but he prayed until he heard an answer. And this is miracle man Paul. Paul healed people. Paul preached so long one time, third floor, that a kid fell asleep in the window, fell out of the window, and died. And Paul paused his message, and he went downstairs, lay hands on him, and rose him from the dead. And what did he do? Send everybody home? No, he went back upstairs and preached some more. And he told everybody, he told the ushers, don't let anybody sit in the windows. Ushers. I mean, this is Paul. It's not like in me, it's like, why? I mean, Paul healed people. See, Jesus in the garden also prayed three times that this cup would be removed from him. See, Jesus is going to the cross. He knows the cross is coming, and he isn't willy-nilly just going, great, I'm going to be nailed. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to suffocate. I'm going to die. He's the living God. He's never experienced pain and death until he came here in our stead, put on flesh like us. And he was, in these moments, showing his humanity of going, God, if there's another way, please let it happen. But he, at the end of those three prayers, said, God, not my will, but yours. When there's something in our life that's out of control, God is always the place to go. And I know the hard part of that is we want in our own strength to remedy the thing that's going on, but most of the things that you want to be remedied, you can't fix, or you can't fix well. You might can eliminate some of the stress or strain or whatever, and you may run from it. And let me just tell you, for all those who just think, when I meet something tough, I'm just going to run away, it's never the answer. Like, I don't, and I've said this a lot in here, we're turning 12 next Monday, like not Monday, but a week from Monday, the church is. And you don't know how many times that I'm just done. Not done with you. I love most of you. Sorry. Truth. We said we're going to speak truth. But the weight of this, like, I feel a lot of times like I'm absolutely failing at this job. Like, we're 12 years old, and we're meeting, and I love this senior center. Why don't we have a building? You may ask yourself the same question. I am too. Why? And, you know, when COVID hit and all these things, there was just times that I'm like, I feel like I'm not doing anything right. Things are happening that are out of my control. I don't know how to fix them. And me, being the idiot that I am, even knowing that he is our power, he is our source, I'll be looking for Heath to fix all the problems, and I know that I cannot, and it's overwhelming, and I just want to run away. I don't know how many times that I'm like, I start planning. I've never interviewed for another job, but I think about like what that job would be. I'm personable. I think I could sell something that I believed in, but the last time I had this conversation with God was during COVID, and I was out sweating, doing mowing grass, and I was just like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I, you probably heard this before, but I felt like the voice of God just said, you can leave, but nothing else is going to make you happy, and you'll be back. Well, that's real encouraging. He's like, suck it up, buttercup. But three times, he pleaded for the Lord to remove it. And I want to say this for those in the room that are in this process, just because there is no healing does not mean God isn't working. You need to hear that. Just because there's no healing, it doesn't mean that God is an active participating on the thing that he's leading it to. In verse 9, God's going to respond to these prayers, and we don't know how long. I don't think it was like Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice for those. Somebody referenced that this morning. I'm not telling you to go see the movie, and if that just offended you, I'm sorry, but the 80s movies just... I don't think Paul was like, hey, Lord, take this away from me. Hey, Lord, take this away from me. Hey, Lord, take this away from me. I think this was a process. This was probably a season of time of his life that he's interceding. He's probably fasting and praying, God, take this from me. And then verse 9, God responds. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, so those words were from God. This is Paul. It says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, weakness provides the opportunity for God to show his power. If we want God to transform a city, it is only going to come from us being weak. Because let me tell you, you want to see what false strength leads to? Just type in fallen pastors. Type it in. Look, in the last 10 years, there has been some major calamities when it comes to mega church pastors. I don't think mega church is, you know, whatever, but I do agree, or my statement, you may have heard me say this, I don't think any pastor is ever meant to be famous or rich. I think it's something that our hearts can't handle, and we see over and over that they don't. They don't handle it well. And Paul is saying, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness. So what is this weakness? Paul clarifies it in the next verse, but one thing is to be clear, is this weakness is not sin, because God's not saying, hey, boast in your sin, like that weakness is this, I'm lustful or I'm angry. God, he's not saying, boast in your anger or boast in your lust. These are things that are going on that he's going to clarify here in a little bit. If there's sin, God wants us to deal with that sin, not boast in it. But there's things that are outside of our control that he wants us to say, God, I know that I cannot overcome. I need you. See, Paul implored God to take the thorn away, but God refused. Instead, he promised to give Paul the grace to bear it. As a result, the thorn keeps Paul humble and dependent on Christ, and he delights in it. He has found that when he is weak, he has to rely completely on the strength of God. Like, perceived strength won't have us running to Christ. Owned weakness will be like, I can't do this. I need you. It kept Paul in this place of knowing that I need the Father. Who are you boasting about or pointing to when things turn around? See, we can even take the weakness, and when God shows up for his strength and he brings healing, if we could leave that instead of pointing to Christ, pointing to the Father of what he's done, we could be like, look what I've done. And sometimes we esteem ourselves greater than we should. Grace, just so we make sure that we're all in the same place, grace is giving to someone what they don't deserve. That's what God's giving to you. And I want you to hear this. There's no measure of obedience that's going to trick God into giving you everything that you want. And you hear it. You're like, well, I gotta put enough money into that little toolbox back there. I got to serve. I got to read my Bible. And we talk about all these things. We want you to do these things, but we could go, if I do all these things perfectly, God will take my thorn. God will do this thing. And I'm just going to tell you that that's not necessarily the case. Wasn't the case for Paul. Paul deserved a healing more than any of us if it was works-based. But God knew the best thing for Paul was the thorn, not for it to be removed. Verse 10 says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weakness. Weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. And if you go back to chapter 11 later, and read, there's a list of all those things that he went through. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For whose sake are we going to be okay with it? For Christ. See, we could turn this around and make it about us. Look at me. Paul reminds us to let our life point to Jesus. See, if it's for our sake and not for what Christ is doing, when these hardships and insults and persecutions and calamities comes, you know what we do? We strike back. And let me just confess here. When you build this picture of yourself and someone points out a flaw in that picture, and you immediately get defensive and you immediately snap back or try to, like, if you're married, I mean, come on. Like, I had breakfast with a buddy of mine, actually Daniel Barth, a guy that used to be here at Reach for years, and he and I were talking about this. I think he's coming up on year 15 of being married, and he said, I've learned to just stop arguing. Like, oh, I left that thing out. You know, I do it. Let me tell you something I do. And if your husbands do this, like, I'm sorry. But I have this incessant need to, like, rinse my hands off with water and then take a paper towel, which there's a towel right there that I could use and not waste, fill the landfill. But I take a paper towel and I carry it with it and I just place it somewhere. And then a little bit later, I'll get something sticky on my hand, and what will I do? I'll rinse my hands off and I'll get a paper towel and I'll put it somewhere. And they, at times, are all over our house. And we were talking about this because he kind of does something similar to that. And she'll point out the paper towel. And he's like, but I clean the dishes. And he before he would get defensive and just say all these things that he's done, that why can't you just ignore this one thing? Instead of just going, oh, yes, oh, that is mine. Jody said it the other day. There was a paper towel on the ground. And somebody was like, whose is this? And he was like, it's Dad's. I was like, why do you know it's mine? It's like, because you're the only one. And I try, because the paper towels are right here, and the towel is right there. I've been trying to be better at just drying it off on the towel, because the towel stays there. Though sometimes I will take the towel, and I'll throw it over my shoulder, and I'll just walk around with hours, 4 hours, with the towel on my shoulder, and Jody will go to dry her hands off, and she's like, where's the towel? There, it's right there. I didn't take it. But when we've built this thing, we have to preserve it. And most of the arguments that I have with my wife are related to her going, hey, could you do this? I take it as perceived, like, I see this thing that you're doing wrong, and I hate you, which is not what she's saying, but this is what my brain tells me. I failed again, and I have to be defensive and try to say, well, I did this, and remember when I did that, instead of just owning it and say, yep, that's my paper towel, I want to pick it up and put it away. Like, when we want to protect this shell that we have that's fake, we'll lash out. But when it's for Christ's sake, we can go, I'll boast all the more in my weakness, and that's mine. This is my responsibility. I'll take it and own it and repent of it. Again, weakness provides an opportunity for God to show His power. And for this reason, Paul can boast about his weakness even though others may mock him for it. I mean, Paul was not a good preacher. He'll acknowledge. He was like, my words aren't fancy. There was other super apostles. There were people that would come in and they were like legit. I mean, like, people would be like, they're awesome. But let me just tell you, and let me just ruin maybe everything for you. Some of the best preachers aren't good preachers. Because you leaving entertained, which is a disease of mine, like I want to make you laugh a little bit, won't change your life. And Paul, his words weren't great, they weren't smooth, but they had something that others didn't. People were getting saved because he was preaching the truth. He wasn't lifting himself up so that others would idolize him. He was being true and pointing it over and over again back to Christ. So here's a couple questions for you, which I've already told you. Have you prayed? Like, is there something going on in your life that you're just like, this is it. This is the thorn. This is what's going on. I don't know what to do with it. My first question for you, where are you going with that? Are you internalizing it? You're going, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to resolve it? What am I going to do? Are you going to the Father saying, God, I need help here? And then with that, have you heard the words? And maybe this morning in the sermon, the only thing that you may hear is, my grace is sufficient for you. That may be your word that you leave here today and you own and you hold and you relish the reality that His grace is good in spite of what I'm going through. And if you haven't heard, then keep praying. And keep praying and keep praying. Jesus, when he preaches about praying, it's always tethered with another story about being persistent in your praying. So what are you doing with your weakness? Are you hiding it and wanting to look strong, or are you leaning into it so that you can get real strength? See, strength that knows itself as strength is actually weakness, but weakness that knows itself to be weakness is actually strength. And this is something that you'll find out the more you read the Bible. They call it the upside down kingdom. I'm not talking about Stranger Things. But we view our world like this. Like this is the top and this is the bottom. And when you read the Bible, it turns this upside down because it talks about the greatest aren't going to be the top. The lesser are. And these things like here, you don't want to say, hey, oh man, weakness is good. Weakness is actually better than strength. Our culture is like, no. And this is the fight that you'll be against, because if you leave here today believing this and have a conversation with somebody, they're going to be like, nah, not good. Keep hiding. Let your weakness push you towards Jesus and not away from him. Because when you are weak, you are strong. I'm going to read a verse out of a section of scripture that we covered, I think, 2 weeks ago, talking about jars of clay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Remember, we're just paper cups. To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to the death for Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus will also be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Our goal is understanding actually who you are, because if you're true to who you are, who you're called to be, you'll stop trying to pretend. And it's going to hurt, because there's people in this room. And if I looked at you in the eye, let me look at everybody in the eye so you know that. There's people in this room that their false self is all that they know. And they'll do anything to defend it. And they may mock, they may ridicule, they may poke fun at a weakness that you say, I'm tired of living this way and I want to change. See, we have to understand that the truth that is true is what God tells us in His Word and not what we think or feel. Because your way to freedom is not pretending to be strong and not muscling through it. And I know this is our culture. You know, we pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. We'll do whatever we can to succeed. You cannot succeed in the kingdom of God on your strength. You will only get to the place that God wants you to be by learning to embrace your weakness and go, God, I need you. And so I'm going to invite our worship team back up, and where I want to leave us today, and I want to remind you that we have communion in the back if you want to take it, and we're also going to have prayer people in the back. But I just want to, if you're ready to stop pretending, and you're ready to stop pretending to be strong, then do something about it. Whether that means taking a knee, staying seated, standing up, raising your hands, the activity of it doesn't really matter, but it's the heart position of going, God, here's my weakness. He already knows, but He's looking for you just to say, hey, I need help with this. And whatever that is, just say, God, this is yours. I don't want to pretend. I'm ready. I'm willing. We have people that are going to be in the back that would love to pray in agreement that Satan would lose his authority to ruin your life because of what he has access to. See, it could have ruined Paul. That thorn could have driven him so crazy that he just didn't do anything, but that thorn drove him to Christ. And that's where I'm petitioning for you this morning. Stop trying to manage it and just say, God, I'm done. I need you. That's really what salvation is about. It's you stop trying to fix the things that you cannot fix. It's acknowledging that I cannot save myself, that your righteous behavior will never earn your place beside the Father, but Jesus' finished work on the cross did and has and is enough for you today and tomorrow and the next day. And so if that means today you just acknowledge that for the first time, that's the beginning of a life with Christ. Like, it's not about an event. It's about a beginning of a journey. And if you want to start that journey, it doesn't take a lot of hoopla. It's not whatever. It's just literally saying, God, I'm yours. I want to be yours. I want to follow. And then you just start in their broken way of pursuing a holy God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, only you can crack the shell of the facade that we've made. And I don't know what it means for every person in this room to learn to trust you with the broken places in our life. But Lord, I just speak in faith over this group and over me that we want to trust you. We want that strength that Paul talks about. We want to be real strong people. And that means acknowledging and boasting in the things that we cannot control and leaning into the Father. So Lord, we pray your grace and mercy. And if that means today people saying yes to you for the first time, amen. If that means today people laying down things that they've been trying to hide or conceal or to be perceived as strong in, Lord, would you allow us to be humble and dependent on you today? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.